Turn your Bible tonight to the book of Ephesians, as well as 1 Peter. Give you something light tonight. How's that? 1 Peter, I'll start with chapter 2, verse number 2, a verse you know. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I want to speak to you for a minute tonight and give you four or five reasons why sometimes we don't get fed spiritually. That's always been a pretty common complaint in churches. And you'll hear somebody say, well, you know, I'm going to leave a church because I'm not getting fed there anymore. I've had people say, you know, well, I just don't get fed like I used to, and things of that. And without going too far in one direction, not considering the other side, sometimes the pastor may not be preaching what he's supposed to be preaching. He may not be teaching the way he's supposed to be teaching. And you can starve to death if you're not where God wants you to be. But it's not always a pastor's fault if you're not getting spiritually fed. As a matter of fact, if you're not getting spiritually fed, the pastor, while he may bear a little bit of responsibility, bears very little, because he's simply a servant. And, you know, if you ever see somebody jump all over a waitress in a restaurant, you know, because the food was bad, it's not her fault. She didn't cook it. Amen. She simply brought it to you and set it on your table. And sometimes I've seen people overreact. Matter of fact, I've been in some places before where I tipped more than I normally would, just out of embarrassment for the fool sitting at the table next to me. You know, it's not their fault. They simply brought out to you what the cook prepared. And sometimes when a preacher stands up and preaches, if you're not getting fed, just remember, he's not the cook. He's just putting it on the table. But sometimes it's not the cook's fault either. Sometimes it's not the cook. Sometimes it's not the server. Sometimes it's your fault. And so tonight I want to look at several things. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible said here, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. There is a connection then between the word of God and your growth spiritually. You will not grow spiritually if there is not some intake of the word of God in your life. I have said for years, and sometimes folks just say, well, you know, you always say that. You ought to have some intake of the word of God on a daily basis in your life. Somebody said, well, how much should I read in a day? And think about it. When you say that, listen to your attitude. Your attitude is, well, I want to read as little as possible. But if we could just develop the same attitude toward the Word of God that we have developed toward the dinner table. Amen. We probably wouldn't be nearly so malnourished spiritually. Understand, we grow by ingesting or taking in the Word of God. And, you know, I've never had my wife have to call me more than once or twice, unless there's a really good football or basketball game on, to come and eat. Matter of fact, there's a really good football or basketball game on, and she calls, I just tell her to bring it to me. Amen. I'm not going to miss the meal, even though I may be enjoying something else. I understand I need to partake of sustenance in order to continue to exist. And the truth of the matter is, in the life of a Christian, you need to understand a foundational concept that is this. No Bible, no growth. No Bible, no growth. It is not going to happen without my taking in the Word of God. Now, I don't believe you have to get 215 commentaries and hold a 4-hour Bible study. But you do have to take in the Word of God in order to grow. And somebody said, well, you know, what if you don't understand it? Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't always understand what cut of meat that is on the table. I'll be honest with you, I couldn't tell you the difference between a porterhouse and a T-bone if my life depended on it, but I enjoy both. Amen? And I don't have to have somebody explain it to me before I eat it. Matter of fact, you set it on the table, and I'm going to start partaking of it. You need to develop on a daily basis a consistent habit of intaking the Word of God. Why? No Bible, no growth. It won't happen. Amen. Just having the Bible laying in your home is not going to help you to grow. It must be something that I take in. Now notice in Ephesians chapter 4 that God is so concerned with you getting your sustenance or nutrition from the Word of God that He placed in the church those whose job it is to encourage or help you get your sustenance. Verse number 11, He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Watch it. For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. So He says He wants us to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ and not be children. What is that process called where we cease to be children and we become the fullness of stature? What's that? It's called growth. No Bible, no growth. So God puts in the church pastors, teachers, evangelists, those whose job it is to get you to partake of the Word of God. A pastor does not cause you to grow. Okay? No more than your mother caused you to grow. Your mother prepared food and then she encouraged you to partake of that food. She was responsible for preparing you the right kinds of food. But ultimately, if you did not partake of that food, you did not grow. It is God's will for you to grow. It's obvious from this passage. It is God's desire for you to grow, as is evidenced in the fact that He gave you the book. It is God's design that you grow because He put individuals in the body of Christ and in the church to encourage your growth. But the truth of the matter is, your growth depends entirely upon you. No Bible, no growth. Now, why is it that some people complain, I'm not getting fed? And it's kind of been funny, and I've said it over the years, if you're in a church and you're not getting fed, before you criticize what somebody's preaching, you might ought to look across the aisle and try to understand, why is that guy growing and I'm not? Why is that lady getting fed and I'm not? Why is it that what is not working for me from the pulpit may be working for 50 other people or 100 other people? The fellow that's not feeding me is doing a fine job feeding somebody else. And you say, well, are you saying that to be critical? I'm saying that to help you understand where the problem may be so that we can fix it. No Bible, no growth. Let me give you some things that will help you tonight. How to get fed when you come to church. All right? How to get fed when you come to church. Now, I'm taking for granted you understand that you ought to be in a good church. Okay? I'm taking that for granted. Brother Dunlap showed that delicious meal of goat there that he showed all cooked up and stirred up there. And I'll be honest with you, I walked into a restaurant and that's what they brought and set on the table. I'd know I was in the wrong restaurant. I just say, I'm sorry, you folks appreciate that, but I just felt led to go down the street to McDonald's somewhere. You understand that if you're going to grow, you need to be in the right kind of church. You need to be in a place where this is the book. Why? No Bible, no growth. If you're in a church where they want to talk about, philosophy, and they want to talk about, some of them get going now on psychology, and you're in a church where all they want to do is sing. I'm all for singing. I think music is a good part of worship, but it doesn't help you grow. No Bible, no growth. You ought to be in a place where the Bible is preached and taught. And you ought to find that place. And then let me say this. Rule number one, cultivate a taste for that which is good and not that which tastes good. Cultivate a desire in your life for that which is good, not necessarily tastes good. We live in the midst of a generation. We're there, and this is what we are. It's what defines us. We want what we want. We want what we like. And there are more folks today that flock to dead, dry churches spiritually because they've got a program that I really like. Or they've got such a nice pastor that just treats us so nice, but they're not there for the right reason. Remember, no Bible what? I'm going to get that etched in your mind tonight. No Bible, no growth. So if I can get you to come for an hour and a half praise concert where no Bible is preached, guess what happens? No growth. No growth. I've read several articles here of late talking about a rampant, sad, almost epidemic level of immorality in some of these new contemporary churches. And the pastors and staff say, we don't know what's happening. I can tell you what's happening. You've majored on things that do not feed God's people, and as a result, they're sitting in these grand halls, packed to capacity, and they're starving to death spiritually. No Bible, no growth. You never want to pick a church by how many are in the church. Well, you know, I went by there and they got, it's just packed out. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. You can go up to the hospital when every room is full. It doesn't make it desirable. We need to cultivate a taste for that which is good instead of that which tastes good. And I say this, the Bible talks about the preaching of the cross and says that it is what? Anybody know the word? It's an offense. It's an offense. Then the preaching of the cross is offensive to people. Now, I don't think we have to go out of our way to be offensive. I don't think we have to just make notes on how to be nasty and mean. But I believe this, when you preach the truth, every once in a while, you're going to get in somebody's face. And if you're listening to the truth being preached, every once in a while, the Holy Spirit of God is going to get in your face. I've heard a lot of things preached I didn't like. Amen. And you say, well, what does that mean? I want to go to a church where I like it. You're probably not going to get fed there. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. If we allowed all the kids in the nursery tonight, just set them free and severed the yokes of bondage there and said, you know what, you can eat whatever you want to from now on. How long do you suppose they'd live? They'd all be dead before they're 5 years old. You say, why? Because they only want to taste what they like. You need to sit down in your life and say, God, I want you to help me. I want you to help me to find the right church. But when I get there, I realize this. It's possible for me to go to the right place and not get fed. I've seen it 1,000 times. People say, I don't get fed there. The pastor preaches and I don't get fed. And somebody else may get fed, but I'm not getting fed. What's going on here? Number one, cultivate a taste for that which is good, that which is right. I want somebody to tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. If you have to get in my face to make me understand it, get in my face. If I don't appear to get it, snarl a little bit. If it doesn't register, you might need to go to an extreme. I remember seeing, Denver, Colorado, cowboy. Yes, my mind is gone. But anyway, big tall Texan came in a 10-gallon hat and wore a .245 pearl handle. This is back in the day before, you know, gun control and everybody was a criminal and the crime rate was about 1%. And they hung criminals or put them in the gas chamber. And it was just a much worse, cruel day. You didn't have to have locks on your doors. And it was just, I can't imagine people living like that. Can you? You know, just awful. I remember my grandfather left the keys in his car all the time. Never took them out. You say, why would you? I mean, just it was the times you lived in. People were just crazy. It was such an awful time. But anyway, I heard Harvey Springer. Thank you. That's what I was fishing for. I heard him preach one night, and I heard him preach. And while he was preaching, he threw hymn books out in the audience. He had a couple of guys that were not listening, and so he just picked up a hymn book and flung it right on. 5,000 people sitting in the audience. And, you know, he looked out there, and I don't know whether he hit the guy he was throwing it at or not. I was just a little boy. I was trying to crane it over the seat to see if it got out there or anything. But I heard him tell the fellow, say, yeah, and I will hit you the next time harder. I remember watching him preach, and he had them old cowboy boots, and he'd walk the backs of those pews. He didn't walk up down the aisle. He walked on the pews. I mean, his boots would lock on the back of that pew. He'd walk up one side, jump off in the aisle, come back down the other. And you say, well, that's just absolutely absurd. You know what? When he got finished preaching, people flooded that altar to get saved. You say, what was it? He just got in your face with the truth. You need to learn to cultivate. This is the generation that doesn't want the truth. The Bible said in the last days, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're not desirous of the truth any longer. They want that which soothes and satisfies and makes them feel good. And truth of the matter is, some people desire to grow only because they want to feel good. I want the truth. Learn in your heart, establish as a principle, I want to cultivate a taste for that which is good and not that which tastes good. What are you saying? I'm saying your attitude has a lot to do with whether you grow or not. Your attitude has a lot to do. I mean, the preacher preaches and he preaches something and one fellow's over here shouting it out going, amen, amen. Some lady's back there, she's crying, thanking God. And you're over there going, I don't believe a word of it. I'm going to ask you a question. Who's going to grow? Who's getting fed? Did you ever see a child when mama was trying to feed him and he just went... You know, you have to coerce a child. And listen, we don't play airplane around here. You know, pastor doesn't get up in the pulpit and go, okay, open wide now. Hey, if you don't want to eat, starve. I got news for you. You get hungry enough. You get hungry enough and you want something to eat. Cultivate a taste for that which is good, not that which tastes good. Let me say secondly, get it while it's hot. Sometimes the reason people don't get fed is because of their attitude. Well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, then starve. You know? Well, I just, you know, I think, preacher, that, you know, some people ought to cook it a little different and serve it up a little different. And I mean, then cook it yourself. I'm not the cook, all right? I'm setting it on the table. You don't want to eat it? Don't eat it. Don't eat it. The attitude. Well, I want what I like, and I don't like that, and I like... And that's why you don't get fed. Number two, though, sometimes you just... When you get there... Worst thing in the world is to get to some... Did you ever eat cold mashed potatoes? I can't think of anything more repulsive than cold mashed potatoes. I like them when they just get on the table and the butter's still running down the mountain, you know? And you kind of get you, you don't need no little spoon, you need a big spoon. And you just kind of get you one of them big double dollops out of there, and when you do, it just kind of... Then you throw you some gravy on there, and you just want to jump in and swim. Amen? But you wait about 30 minutes, and it just like it becomes a mud pie, you know? Just a cake. And all the gravy, the grease floats to the top. And that's bad stuff. You know, the reason you may not be getting fed is you need to get it while it's hot. That's not a matter of attitude. That's a matter of timeliness. Some folks just aren't faithful. Some folks aren't faithful. Well, I don't see why I need to go to church 3 times a week. You know, I don't know why you got to go to the table 3 times a day either. Why don't you ladies just start getting up about 7, 8 o'clock and fix one big meal and divide it into 3 portions and tell your husband, there you go, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Amen? Fix him some mashed potatoes. He'll like breakfast. Lunch and dinner will be out of the question. Well, I don't see why you got to cook 3 times a day. I'll tell you why you got to come to church 3 times a week. You want to get it while it's hot. Get that fresh food served up fresh. You say, well, you know, I wasn't there. It's amazing to me over the years. This happens too often to just be a coincidence. That someone calls on the phone. They say, I have a question and this has really been bothering me. And could you help me? And sometimes they'll schedule an appointment. Sometimes they want to even stop and eat somewhere. And you sit down across the table and they've got this heartfelt desire, this burden that they... And they'll ask you a question and they'll say, preacher, what do you do? And my immediate response is, I preached on that Wednesday night. I went through 11 references and explained it. You know, and where were you? Well, you know, I'm just kind of busy. Well, then eat it cold. Amen. Sometimes the reason we don't grow, sometimes the reason we don't get fed is because we don't like cold leftover food. Then get it while it's hot. When the door's open, come to church. You say, well, but you know how many times you've come to church not thinking it was going to get anything out of it and God spoke specifically to your heart? Amen? I don't even remember what I preached now Sunday night, but I remember Sunday morning the Lord gave me a sermon sitting in His chair, and I had 2-3 sermons, and I didn't know which one to preach. And I said, all right, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'm just going to follow the standard plan. I got this message, and I'm going to preach it, and I'll preach the other one tonight. And after Sunday night, and again, I don't remember what I preached, but after church Sunday night, somebody came to me and says, I was here this morning, I really needed what you preached, and thank God He didn't let you preach it this morning, I needed it tonight. God's liable to do that for you, but more often than not, He won't. More often than not, you're not there to get it. He'll give it to somebody else and you won't get fed. Get it while it is hot. You say, well, how do you do that? Hang around the kitchen. Amen. Hang around the kitchen. Hang around where they serve the food. My mom used to run us out. I remember my grandmother taking a skillet, chasing all her grandyoungers out of the kitchen, banging on it with a wooden spoon. Get out of here. Leave me alone. You never will get to eat. We just hung around the kitchen. And every once in a while, when she wasn't looking, we'd reach over and we'd just, you know, get us a little bit and eat. You know, folks that hang around the house of God usually get fed. Usually get fed. Number three. Place an order before you get there. Amen. Place an order before you get there. Make a reservation, you know. Let them know. You say, well, you mean call the preacher? No, I mean talk to heaven. That's where the cook is. It's an amazing thing. We just kind of show up and expect God to have everything all planned out. You suppose it hurt you a little bit, maybe on a Saturday night, maybe on a Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon, and just somewhere slip off by yourself, get out on your knees and say, God, I'm going to church tonight. Lord, I really got a kind of a hankering. Amen? My wife knows what my favorite foods are. But she'll fix them a whole lot quicker if I ask her for them. Amen? My wife, I think, makes the best beef stroganoff in all of the world. I think she does. You had better say that. You're on staff. But I'll be honest with you. I think I could eat it once a week, maybe twice. But she don't fix it that often. She waits until I, you know, say, sweetheart, you know, well, what's your plan for dinner tonight? But it sure be nice to have some of that beef stroganoff. And boy, I'll tell you what, when I get home and open that door and smell that stuff cooking up, you don't have to worry about me not getting fed. Amen? Hello? I mean, you got marriage problems. When's the last time you got on your knees before God, before church, and said, Lord, listen, we got marriage problems here. Could you kind of fix up one of them fancy meals about marriage tonight? Good Lord, you know, I got some problems here with my eyes. I got some problems with my ears, Lord. I got some problems with my thoughts. Lord, I really need some encouragement. My heart's heavy. Lord, could you just and fix me up one of those meals? You can't imagine what it'd do for you when the pastor got up and opened and said, you know what, tonight I'm going to preach on the family. Tonight I'm going to preach on with your eyes, problems with your eyes. And the Lord's answered specifically. Or right in the middle of that thing, he's going this way 90 miles an hour and what you wanted was over there. And all at once he comes to a screeching halt and hops right back over here and God has somebody address your need. Place an order. You can go and sit in a restaurant for a long time and smile. Don't mean you're going to get any food. Amen. My wife and I now have learned where places where they serve bread. Amen. We haven't done it yet. We've threatened just to go in and when they come for our order, just say, no, we'll just take some more bread. Because they have some fine breads in some of these restaurants. Some of that with some of that sauce you can dip it in, you know. Just bring me another glass of water and we're going to go big time tonight. You can sit there all night long if you don't put your order in. You're not getting a thing. Other people around you getting fed. Amen. You watch them every once in a while bring a big plate full of food by. And you're not getting a thing. You know why? You didn't put an order in. Did you ever think when you sat down and said, boy, that preacher just dry as cracker juice tonight. I've never been so bored in all my life. Did you ever think maybe God gave you exactly what you asked for? Maybe God did answer your prayer. You got nothing. That's exactly what you asked for. Number four. When you get a good meal, thank the cook. Now, I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about the guy you placed your order with. Thank the cook. You know, I found it's nice to be on a personal level with the cook. Anymore, I kind of afraid about where I eat. Sometimes I just go in a restaurant just to look at the cook. And I have been in several places where I said, I believe we'll go on down the road. You know, I mean, I don't want to be mean, nasty, and I think you ought to tolerate and accept people, but I don't have to tolerate everybody fixing my food. You know, if you're ugly and grizzly, I don't want you messing with my food. I'm sorry. Just the way it is. And I found that it's very much to my advantage every once in a while just to get to know the cook. I've been in several restaurants and just kind of got to know the fellas fixing the food. You know what happens every once in a while? I get a little more than I ask for. Amen? I remember Brother Mazzaferri years ago was home from Italy and took us up into, I think it was Carlton, Michigan up there, where the chef was trained in Naples, Italy as a chef. Takes 7 or 8 years to get your chef's hat. And his name, I think it was Bumberto. And Brother Dean ordered, because everything's got a name, you know, that long, you know. And he's ordering all this food and they're bringing this Italian food, setting it on there. I mean, it was good. And as we're eating, we finally got our main course. Here comes the guy out of the kitchen with the white apron on. And he's got the T-shirt on. I mean, he's an Italian chef. Got his little funny hat on. And he comes over and he takes a chair and he turns it around backwards. And he sits down with his hands over the chair. And he starts talking in Italian to Brother Mazzaferri. I don't have a word of what they said. But every once in a while I go, And when they'd laugh, I'd laugh. You know? And when we got up, got ready to leave, he said, "Now you come back, you come back and eat again." And of course, Brother Mazzaferri and his wife—they're going back to Italy, but I wasn't. And I said, "I'll come back sometime." You know what? When we went back next time, he recognized us. He said, "You were here with Dino." Dino. I said, "Yeah, we were." And they had some little breadsticks. Now I just can't describe them to you. Wars have been started over less. And when I got there, I said, "I'll tell you, I've really been wanting some of those little breadsticks." And he said, "We don't have any tonight." He said, "I make them special." And he said, "I prepare them from scratch." And he said, "Tonight I have different kind of bread." And I said, "Oh." But I found out if you know the chef, it's all right, even if you're not going to get exactly what you thought you was going to get. Because he tried to make it up to us. Amen. You try this. You try this. See, if you try it. I mean, he just kept loading down the table because I didn't get any breadsticks. We went back about a month and a half later. Went in, and as soon as we went in the door, he came out of the kitchen. He says, "I don't have the breadsticks." I mean, I had hit the two nights. So I said, "It's all right. It's okay." We sat down. We started eating. Before we left, he brought out a big bag of breadsticks. He'd made them special for me. And I mean a bag full of them. And he says, "You take them home." He said, "I'm sorry." Hey, I'm going to tell you something. It helps to get to know the cook. Sometimes God will give you some of those little handfuls on purpose. Sometimes he may say, "Well, I got this." And you may say, "Oh, that's not what." And he'll make it up to you. He'll make it up to you. Sometimes the reason we don't get fed is because last time we were in there, the cook went out of his way to provide you with some good food. And you didn't even thank him for it. I don't get the opportunity. You get to sit down and listen to a preacher preach 3 times a week. I have to plug in a tape recorder or put it in my iPack and listen to it. And I'll be honest with you, I enjoy preaching. I can't imagine where I would be if I didn't have somebody preaching to me. I mean, you get in the car, you put it in on the tape player, you listen to it on the radio. I need preaching. And I can't imagine where I'd be if I didn't have somebody preaching at me just as often as I can find. I've got tapes. I've got drawers full of tapes in there that I've collected. You say, why do you collect them? I need to go back and hear those guys preach at me again. But you know what? I need to thank the cook every once in a while. Because it's not their preaching. It's his food that he's prepared. Be thankful. And then let me say, finally, exercise when you've had enough to eat. Exercise when you've had enough. You know what doesn't do you enough? Just sit around and shovel it in. And shovel it in, and shovel it in, and shovel it in, and shovel it in. I'm convinced that the majority of our health issues have nothing to do with the food that we eat. You know, well, you need low fat and high fiber and like bologna. That's what I need, is bologna. Now, granted, we have a lot of junk food. And I would say this too, when you come to church, make sure you've not been nibbling on junk food all day long. Amen. But I believe this, and I believe till the day I'm dying. Mama died when she was 95. And Mama went to the nursing home when she was 94 because, to be honest with you, she just needed some social interaction she wasn't getting. So she went to the nursing home. They made her the Valentine's Queen, and I don't know what all it was. But if you ever met my Mama, which some of you did, Mama was a gem. And Mama knew how to live. Mama would get up every morning about 5:30 and get her some white flour and peanut oil and salt. And every once in a while she had a little, some lard left over from the pork chops last night. She'd begin to mix that stuff up in a wooden bowl with a wooden spoon. And she'd plop them biscuits out there and she'd slide them in that oven and let them start cooking. And then she'd get her some of that pork sausage, and throw it in that skillet and start cooking it up. And when that stuff started cooking up, she'd throw some onions in there, and then she'd cook some potatoes right in there with it. Then when that was all done, she'd get her some eggs. I mean, it didn't matter how many. She'd just break them and throw them in there and stir them all up. Then she'd get some honey or some sorghum. And they'd put that. Listen, we'd sit down and we'd eat that. And then for lunch, we'd have collard greens with fat back and pork chops in there. And I mean, fried chicken. I'm talking about an atrocious diet. You understand what I'm saying? By today's standards, they'd say that clogged arteries. Mama died at 95. And I believe she died because she just didn't want to live anymore. But I tell you what Mama did. Mama worked all day long doing something. You know, our problem is we don't get any exercise. She'd get up and they'd fix breakfast, and at 7 o'clock, breakfast was over with, and she'd wash dishes. And when she was done washing dishes, she'd put on that old straw hat she had and her frock. And out she'd go, and she'd grab a hoe as she went out the door. She'd go out there and hoe that 2.5 acres of peas or whatever it was growing out there in the garden. Every once in a while, we thought she'd get the Holy Ghost. What she'd do, she'd come across a rattlesnake. She'd be whacking that thing, dancing and prancing out there, and you thought she was just at it. She was going at that snake. She'd come back up out of the garden about 11 o'clock and ride in the house and start cooking again. Then we'd have a big lunch, and usually 4 or 5 kinfolk would stop by to eat because everybody knew Mama, she cooked. And then when she's done, she'd wash the dishes. And then when she's finished, she'd go somewhere else and do something like that. Sometimes she'd sit out on the porch in the evening after we'd eaten supper and everybody's getting their baths and getting ready to go to bed. She's out there hulling peas or popping green beans, whatever it was she needed to do. And they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked. Sometimes, Christian, the problem is not you're not getting fed. The reason you're getting flabby, and the reason you feel like you just don't have any energy, and the reason you just feel like you're not well, hadn't got anything to do really with the fact you're not getting fed. The problem is you're not getting any exercise. And the blood's not flowing, and the oxygen's not working like it's supposed to. Your heart's messed up. But it's not the food. It's the exercise. You know, some of you need to pass out tracts just so you don't get fat. You say, well, I don't understand. You know, hey, just grab you a handful of tracts and go stand out in front of the mall tomorrow. Go stop on the street corner. You say, well, won't anybody get saved? I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about you and your spiritual health. Wouldn't hurt you. Just go call somebody and apologize. You say, well, I don't think I owe them. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. It wouldn't hurt you to get a little exercise. Hello? I mean, tomorrow when you're sitting in a restaurant indulging in all that good physical food, well, it wouldn't hurt for you just to tell the waitress, I appreciate what you did for me today. And you know what? I want to tell you about somebody who did something for me one day named Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to let you know the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life is when Jesus Christ saved my soul. And I'll tell you what, you ought to let Him save your soul. I mean, it wouldn't hurt you just to open. You say, I'd be scared. Well, I'm not talking about your fear factor. I'm talking about your health. You know, you need something every once in a while to really get the heart going. Amen? That'll get your heart going. Just start witnessing. And witness loud enough so everybody at the table can hear. Amen? We used to years ago, and we haven't done this in years, but we used to go every once in a while. We'd be somewhere, and you'd have two or three people in a booth. And you know people eavesdrop. How many of you know that? Okay. And, you know, we'd just be sitting there. And so all at once, you know, we'd be sitting in a booth and somebody would look across the table at the other guy on the other side of the table and say, what does it really mean now? This born again. What does that mean? And there we'd go. You say, what was he doing? He was witnessing the guy across the table is already saved. Why would you do that for the other people eavesdropping? Amen. You say, well, I'm afraid to be a witness. Witness to somebody who's already saved. You know they're not going to turn you off. They're not going to stop you halfway through the conversation going, now, wait a minute, where'd Cain get his wife? Amen. Tag team, amen, they can ask the right questions. Well, you mean I don't have to join the church? Huh? You understand what kind two people could do in a restaurant witnessing the people around them? Oh, I could never do that. That's why you're fat, slow, and unhealthy as a Christian. It's not because you're not getting fed. You're not getting any exercise. The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Job said, I've esteemed that Word more than my necessary food. How many places in the Bible is the Word of God compared to food? To meat, to water, to milk, to apples. Right down the line. To butter, to bread. All of those things. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is a full, balanced diet right here. And sometimes it's an attitude. Sometimes we're just not there when the food's on. Sometimes we don't get what we could get because we don't thank the cook. We don't place an order. And sometimes we really are getting fed. The reason we feel so bad has nothing to do with our food. It has to do with our exercise.